Because this week was a struggle for me. I knew I had to preach coming up, and it seemed like the week just wasn't going very good. Monday morning, about 8 o'clock, that happened. And that doesn't cut very good. So that didn't make my week start off any better. Is it not on? Give me there. It's got the green light on. That's green. Well, I can use this too. Can we use this? I'm not going to jump around too much. Anyway, so yeah, that's not going to work. And there's times when I carry blades on my truck to change out when something like that happens, but I happened not to have any on their Monday, so I had to call Jolene and have her come bring me some blades out, and Jeremy, if you want to put the first picture up, old Blackie there, she decided transmission decided to go out on her Monday night, so that didn't help my week out any. And then you can go ahead and put the next one up right away. And then that was Thursday. If you can't see it, that's a storm door, and it's pretty much shattered. Brian was weed eating a rock area, and he wasn't really too close to it, but just happened to catch a rock, and it just shattered the glass. And you can go ahead and put the next one up if you want to. And that's what's left. It's a 5-gallon bucket about half full. If anybody likes jigsaw puzzles, you're welcome to have it. I'm just going to throw it away. So, yeah, my week was, it was just, yeah, it felt like it was in shambles kind of, and busy with meetings. And so, I guess today's sermon is more for me than it is for y'all, but I hope y'all can get something out of it as well. Thank you. And as I got to studying and thinking, and Thursday when the door happened, I was texting with Lyle and Kevin, and luckily they brought my spirits back up because I was pretty bluesy. But I told them, I said something about there's got to be a sermon in here somewhere. So, this morning I'm going to read about trials, and in the New Testament there's lots of examples of trials and people that have went through trials, and there was lots of suffering and persecution, and what I went through was by no means suffering or persecution, but yet when we face trials in our life, we have a choice to make. And like Jerry said this morning, God is still good, even when there are trials, even when bad things happen, God is still good. So I don't want to lose sight of that. But I'm going to read a bunch of scripture that have to do with trials and struggles. And the first one is 1 Peter 1:6-9. And it says, actually, let me read at least five before that. Who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, talking about before the salvation. But it says, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire. So our faith is greater than gold, but yet in order to get gold pure, I mean, when they dig it out of the ground, it's got rocks and it's got iron, and it's got copper, whatever it may be. It's all in one one piece or one lump, and they have to melt it down. And it has to actually lose its form. You know, it has to be heated to 2,000 degrees to get purified. And for the other things to float to the top. Kind of like the last time I shared with water and oil, you know, it separates. So even as gold has to go through fire to be purified and be made into something else, so do we. But it says, of greater worth than gold. Our faith is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise. So our faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honor when Christ, Jesus Christ, is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So, these trials that we go through, these struggles that we go through, they knock the rough edges off of us. It's God's way of helping us out and helping us to move on. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." So we see here we're supposed to persevere, and there's several examples of where it talks about persevering. You know, keep going on, because when we have stood the test, when we have come through the other side, then we'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Romans 8:18 says, "I consider that your present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." So even the sufferings that we're going through, it doesn't hold a candle to what we're going to receive in heaven. And we have an example. Christ gave us an example. 1 Peter 2:20-21 says, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So Christ suffered for us, not just dying on the cross for our sins, but he left us an example in the way he did it. You know, Christ could have, he could have checked out. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have done lots of things to make it easier for him, but yet he didn't. Romans 5:1-5. Says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So we're rejoicing in the hope of glory of God. And said, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. And I'll be honest, I had a hard time rejoicing when I seen this happen. When that door got shattered, I had a hard time rejoicing. And I guess that hit me as I was studying, you know, like Jerry said, God is still good. God is still who he is. Doesn't change that, even though we're going through struggles. But we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So, you know, the end results, if we keep pressing on, it produces things in us. You know, you persevere and you get character because you persevere, and you get hope because of your character. So there's things that while we see them as trials and we don't like them, no one likes to go through suffering. No one likes to go through trials. And yet Christ uses these, God uses these in ways that can build us up and turn us into who he wants us to be. The next one I have is 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. It says to keep me from becoming conceited, and this was referring to Paul's to his thorn in his flesh. It says to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So, I mean, that's a loaded couple of verses right there. The last 2 verses of there for sure. You know, God told him that his grace is sufficient. And then he said, you know, in your weaknesses, that's when I can be strong. And, you know, and so he said, I delight in weaknesses, in insults. No one likes to be weak. No one likes to be insulted. No one likes hardships, persecutions, difficulties. You know, we'd like to, you know, just roll through life. I think of the bulletin that was on last Sunday. I don't know if any of y'all noticed it or not, but there was what we think life should be like, and there's what God has life as. What we think life should be like is a straight line, and you're riding a bicycle straight across up to heaven. But what God has it as, there's a bunch of hills and a bunch of mountains or valleys or whatever it may be. You know, but God uses these things to make us who we should be. You know, you don't get strong by, you don't run a marathon by getting out and walking 5 minutes a day. You know, I'm going to walk 5 minutes a day and I'm going to really get my stamina built up, and then I'm going to go run a marathon. You know, that doesn't happen. You know, you have to put your body through training, and that's God's way of training is the things that we go through. You know, he allows us to come into, and 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Said, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So we see that, you know, God brings these things into our life, but he's not gonna allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle, beyond what, you know, what we can bear. It says, and God, when we are tempted, he will provide a way out. So God is there for us. God knows what we need. And sometimes it's not what we want. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So we all love our kids. We love our children. We're not going to give them a rock, you know, for when he asks for bread. But yet, we think God, you know, God, why'd you allow this to happen, God? You know, but yet, when my kids ask for candy all the time, right before we eat supper, I'm not going to give it to him either. You know, God has a bigger picture in mind, just like we have a bigger picture in mind when it comes to our children. You know, we don't give them a bread every time they ask for it. We don't give them, you know, the toys that they ask for every time. We don't give them, you know, things that they want just because they want it. That's a very selfish attitude, and oftentimes we have that as well. It's like, God, why did this happen? God, why did my transmission go out, you know? Why did you allow that to happen? And maybe God gave me a way out because my transmission slipped the first time when I left due west, and as I came down the bottom of the hill, there was a deer crossing the road as I came up the other side, and I slammed on brakes to avoid it. And maybe in hindsight, I should have hit the deer. Maybe that was God giving me a way out, but just your reaction that you have. But then I also have 2 Peter 2:9. It says, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. So God knows what we can handle, like we see in the verse before. God knows what we need. And He's able to rescue us from the trials that we're in. He's able to snatch us out, just like before then it talks about Noah and Lot, how He rescued them from the destruction that was coming. So God knows how to take care of us. 2 Timothy 3:10-12 is Paul talking to Timothy. And it says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Then he says, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So we're going to go through things in life that don't feel good, whether it's trials, whether it's persecutions. Like Paul faced persecutions, but he said, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. And if you think about all the things Paul went through, you know, he was in prison, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, all these things, and yet he still said, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. So he still felt like the Lord rescued him. And Psalm 91, I'm going to read that yet, and it talks about our refuge. Who is our refuge? And this is just a little encouragement. If you're going through some troubles, through some trials, trust in Him. I'm going to read Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I just like to leave these last couple verses here. It says, because he loves me, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me. When we're going through trials, you know, call upon him. He's there. That's what he's there for. When your son or your daughter falls down and skins their knee, they call for you. And what do you want to do? You want to go to them and you want to help them up. You want to pick them up and brush it off. And that's what God wants to do to us. He wants to pick us up. He wants to brush off our skinned knee. He wants to pick us up and be there for us. And it says, with long life, I will satisfy him. So he wants to be there for us, and he wants to love us and give us the best that we need and the best that we can have, but maybe not the best that we want, but yet he knows what is best for us. He knows what we need. This is all I have. I hope that it challenges you and maybe encourages you as you face your days, your weeks that come. That when we face trials, I know it's gonna hit me when I go through something to count it all joy. When you know come and fall into diverse temptations, you know, be joyful, to do it with joy and with gladness. face these trials. Let's pray. Dear God, I just ask that you would be with us today. Ask that you would go with us as we go about the next week. Dear God, I pray for your protection in our lives. Dear God, I thank you for the instance that you have showed protection this week to those who we know and who we love. Dear God, I just ask that you would just be with us as we face trials in our lives. Dear God, I pray that you would just help us to do it joyfully, to think on your word as we face these trials in our life, these things that come up. Dear God, I pray that we would do it with joy and we would not lose sight of you, and that we would focus on you. Dear God, I just ask that you would just be with each one here. Dear God, I think of the noon meal. Dear God, I pray that you would just bless the food that is prepared, bless the hands that prepared it and that brought it. Dear God, I pray that you would just, the strength would be used to your honor and your glory. I ask that you would just go with us today and keep us. In your name I pray. Amen.